someone once asked a Rockefeller, how much money would it take to make someone happy? And he says, just a little more. Contentment is something that's learned. I want to ask you a question. Have you learned it yet?
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. So blessed to be your host today and here in the studio with Pastor Mark Jobe, author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, we are in the book of Philippians today in a series called Joy is a Choice, and this is the second half of your message called The Secret of Contentment, and it must be a secret because it doesn't seem like too many people really know it.
Yeah, you know, this contains one of the most quoted verses in all of the New Testament. Sports athletes quote this verse. People that are facing a challenge quote this verse, and it's, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, which is a great verse, but often taken out of context. Because really what the Apostle Paul is saying to us is that no matter what my circumstances look like, I can maintain a spirit of contentment. In other words, I can do all things through the strength that God gives me.
What great news. I mean, really, it seems like, you know, a lot of times it's out of our reach. Contentment and happiness and just being at rest and at peace with God, it seems like it's unattainable. And yet, this passage tells us otherwise.
Absolutely. And I'm going to end this message by giving you five practical steps to maintain a spirit of contentment. So you want to listen to the entire message because at the end, there's specific steps that you can take to make sure that today you start engaging with the spirit of contentment.
And it's great to know that what I'm looking for, really, it isn't out there. It's not in a different wife or more kids or a better job or more stuff. I'll never find it there.
Absolutely. And Joshua, I think the important thing to remember, like you said earlier, is that oftentimes we can get a victim's mentality about our circumstances. And as long as I think I'm a victim of my circumstances, then contentment will always be elusive. The moment I know that it doesn't depend on my circumstances, I have gained a major victory.
So good to hear that, Pastor Mark. Thank you. This is The Secret of Contentment, second half in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. Let's go there right now.
When wind chill is 25 below and you're freezing walking down the street, I'm moving to Florida. You say, I'm going to Texas. I'm going to Arizona. I know. I feel the call. And I run into a lot of people that always think if I move, I'll be happy. And they're always thumbing through the magazines and looking for the house in Texas or Arizona or Florida, and you always think if I just moved, my life would be so different and I'd be so happy. And can I tell you this? Listen, if you go to Florida, if you go to Arizona, if you go to San Diego, no matter where you go, I want you to know something, that you will drag all your discontentment with you, because contentment is not about out there. Contentment is about in here. And it's just a matter of time before you'll be discontent again. And sometimes discontentment is about what we do. You say, well, if I could just change what I do. I mean, I'm at this job and it's okay, but I just don't like this part or that part. And I want to just change jobs. Well, let me tell you, there's good parts and bad parts about every job. Some people say, well, I just wish I could work outside. I mean, I love the sun and the weather and to breathe. And yeah, you like it, but remember that January, February. Yeah. Some people say, well, I work outside all the time. I wish I could work inside and do like those computer people do. They just sit at a desk and just do the computer stuff. And some of you would change and you'd go crazy doing that. And you see, there's always something to say, well, I'm not real happy about that. There's always going to be something in your job that you don't like or something that you wish you could change. And we look and we say, if we could just change jobs, I'd be happy. But really, it's not about out there. Contentment is about in here. Come on, do it with me. Not out there. It's about in here. And then sometimes our contentment or discontentment revolves around the people that we relate to. It could relate to who you're married to or who you're not married to or who your family is or who you live with or what your circumstances are. And I run into people that say, well, I would really be happy if it weren't for my husband. The reason I'm not happy or content with my husband, if I could change him. And if I can't change him, if I could exchange him. Then I'd really be happy. Let me tell you, listen, you're not happy or unhappy because of him. Because irregardless of who you're married to or if you're not married to, married, contentment does not rest on your spouse. Contentment is in here, not out there. And so Paul says, I've learned in whatever circumstances I am, I know how to be in need. In others, I know how to be brought low. It's the same word, be brought low, here that's used in Philippians chapter 2 when it talks about Jesus humbling himself, being brought low. Paul says, I know how to be brought low. Some of you need to learn that, or you're in that course of being brought low but still learning contentment. And then he says, and I know how to succeed, or I know to have how to have plenty. And sometimes success will ruin us more quickly than need will ruin us, right? Learning how to be content when you're climbing the ladder of success and you have a lot, but learning how to be content. Someone once asked a Rockefeller, how much money would it take to make someone happy? And he says, just a little more. Not always the story, just a little more. And so Paul says, contentment is something that's learned. I want to ask you a question. Have you learned it yet? And if you haven't learned it, you need to determine in your mind, this is something I can learn and I will learn and I choose to learn. The second thing I want you to know about contentment is this. Contentment is not based on what you have or don't have. We've reviewed that a little bit, but look what it says in verse 12. It says, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learn the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. You say, Pastor, wait a second. Did you say secret? Yeah. Paul says, I have learned the secret. Now, this is a very interesting word because it's only found here in all the New Testament. There's no other place it's found in the Bible, this word for secret. And it really means, it's a word that literally means to be initiated into some mystery. In other words, when no one else knows, but you sort of go up this ladder and are initiated into this understanding or this knowledge that most people don't have. I mean, everybody loves a secret, don't they? My kids, when one of them says, hey, I got a secret. All of the what? I want to know too. At your office, when someone's whispering something, first thing you want to do is, hey, what are you guys talking about? Hey, we all want to know the secret, right? Because we want to feel like we know too. Paul is saying, I got a secret. Oh, if you knew this. Man, this is huge. Because this here knowledge that most people don't know, that most people don't grasp, if you knew it, you also could be content. I got a secret. Oh, it's great. He said, well, come on, Pastor. Well, what is it? Come on, I want to know. Well, just hold on. Hold on, I got to make sure I want to share it with you. This is a secret. Paul says, hey, I have learned the secret of being content. And let me tell you something about the secret. Once you know this secret, it doesn't matter. The circumstances don't matter. It's not built on circumstances. In fact, listen to what he says. The New Living Translation says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether with a full stomach or with an empty. The American Standard Version says, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. The Robert Young Little Translation says, and in everything and in all things I have been initiated. Paul is saying, man, this is something I didn't know before, but you know what? The eyes of my understanding have been opened, and I understand something that has literally changed my life. Most people don't grasp this. Most people don't know it. But finally, when I grasped it, it sent me into another level, and now I live at a different plane than before I had it. And the kind of contentment that I'm talking about is a kind of contentment that does not depend on whether you have a lot or little. I mean, it's self-contained contentment. In fact, the word that's used here, the word for contentment, is used of a city that doesn't need external imports to survive. The word contentment means that it doesn't need anything from the outside to live. Like if a city was self-contained and had its own gardens and had its own water supply and had everything it needed and it's walled off and it doesn't need anything else from the outside to survive, that's the same word used of contentment. In other words, that it's not dependent on things from the outside to make it self-sustained or content or happy, that it's content inside. That's the concept that's used here. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that even if he's hungry, Paul says, hey, I've gone hungry. This is not like, hey, I didn't get four meals a day, or I didn't have my Breyers ice cream at night. No, he says, I've been hungry. Paul says, I've actually been in situations where I have gone without eating for a while, and I've still been content. Paul had been shipwrecked. He had been in the cold. He'd been in prison. He'd been through all kinds of things, and through it all, he says, man, it hasn't altered my contentment. And he says, other times I've had a lot. I've had a bunch of stuff. I've had a lot of prosperity in my life, and guess what? I've still been content, because this thing is not altered by whether I have a lot or whether I have a little. They did a survey a while back, I read, and they found out that they surveyed a bunch of Americans, a couple thousand Americans, and they asked them, what would the American dream mean for you? What would make you happy? What is the ultimate American dream for you? What would you be satisfied with? And after they did a survey, they discovered that most Americans, their American dream is about double what they make now. For example, if someone's making $40,000 a year, they'd say, well, you know, I'd be happy with $80,000. If someone's making $100,000 a year, they'd say, well, you know what? I would be happy. I would be satisfied with $200,000. So most Americans feel like their American dream is double of what they're making now. But how many of you know how it works? You make that, and then when you're making double, your American dream is, I want double of the double. So the Apostle Paul leads us to our third and final understanding of contentment. And in this point, I'm going to give you the secret of contentment. You ready for it? Okay. If I had a drummer, I'd do a drum roll. You know what the secret of contentment is? It's revealed in verse 13. You should have this verse underlined. You should have this verse memorized.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a message called The Secret of Contentment, which is from our current series called Joy is a Choice. Straight Talk is a radio ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago, where Pastor Mark is the senior pastor. At the end of our program, I'll tell you more about New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark, and how you can get a free copy of this message. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, The Secret of Contentment.
You may need to have this verse plastered on your wall somewhere, because this verse here is so powerful that when you know it, it can literally change your life. What is the secret of contentment? Here it is, unveiled. I am able to do all things. I have the power to accomplish all things through the power that is being infused in my life through the power in me. Are you tracking with me? What is the secret to contentment? The secret of contentment is the power of God inside of me that gives me the power to overcome anything that I face. You say, well, I like that verse. I've used that verse all the time. You say, you know, I was on a football team and we would hustle, we would get in together in the huddle and we'd say, okay, I can do all things through Christ. We're going to win this game. We're going to win this game. Through God, we're going to win this game. No, that's not what it means. Because you may have the other team on the other side saying, okay, whatever, God, you know, God's going to help us win. It doesn't mean I can do everything by Christ. It doesn't say I can do everything with Christ. It says I can do all things through Christ. Well, what do you mean through Christ? I mean that God's Spirit lives in you. And it's like God is infusing. This word for power is the word dunamis. It's the same word we get the English word dynamite from. Boom! Explosive dynamite. I mean, that's power. Paul says there's two forms of power that he's using here. Paul says, whatever comes my way, I can overcome it. I mean, just come on, send it on. Famine, hardship, tough circumstances, I can overcome every single one of them. How do you do it, Paul? Oh, through the dunamis or through the power that's being infused in me, that's how I can overcome. In other words, I have the power because that power is being poured into my life through Christ. So here's the secret. The secret to being content is the more that you are plugged in to the life flow of God, and God is flowing in you, then the more you can be content no matter what circumstance you face, you can overcome it because God's power lives in you and through you. That's the secret of being content. It's what it tells us in John chapter 15, being in the vine. The Bible says, we are the branches, he is in the vine. He's the vine. Without him, we can do nothing. You see, the secret to being content is your connection to God Almighty. And when you realize, I am satisfied and content because God is filling me and he is more than enough for me. Now, do you have that kind of relationship? You say, well, Pastor, how do I really, like, make that stick in my life? Well, let me just give you a couple other verses. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have because he has said he will never leave you or forsake you. Notice what it says in John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now let me give you a couple suggestions as to how to make this real in your life. You say, well, Pastor, I love God. Yeah, it's not just that you love God, but are you gaining the strength of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and whatever circumstance you face, are you saying, God, you are more than enough for me. You fill me, and this circumstance, God, I will overcome it with your power. As you fill me up, I am content, Father. I am satisfied in you. Now, let me give you a couple practical steps to make this a reality in your life. Are you ready? I want you to write these down because I want you to practice them this week. This is your assignment. This is your homework assignment. Number one, determine to give thanks each day about something. Just say, I'm going to thank God about something every day. You know, Pastor, I don't have anything I can think of to give thanks about. How about start by, I'm alive. I'm alive. You say, well, I don't even know if I'm thankful for that. Okay, well, you're alive. Every day, look for something to give thanks about. Thank God for at least one thing. Wake up in the morning and thank God. God, I'm here. God, I'm alive. Hey, God, thank you. I'm not in prison. Got a roof over my head. I know you're there. Little things. Thank God about something every day. Number two, You need to see your highs and lows in life as an opportunity to learn contentment. The next time a situation comes your way that's bringing you low, tell God, thank you, God, because this is an opportunity for me to learn contentment, and I will learn to be content irregardless of what happens. You see, you're looking at life as a training, teaching course about contentment. Number three, oh, this is a big one. Refuse to compare yourself with others. You know that we're content until we get around someone that has more than what we have, and then we get unhappy. It's like at Christmas time when the little kid gets the toy and he's so happy, jumping around, I really like this. And then his brother gets another toy that's bigger or better. And then suddenly he says, I want that one. And how many of you know that we live a lot of our time often comparing ourselves to other people? And you were pretty content with your car and you liked it a lot until your neighbor got the other car. And you started looking at your car and said, you know, I don't really like this car that much. Look at his car. Stop comparing yourself to others. It's not about others. It's about you and God. It's about contentment. And let me give you another practical step that will help you with that. If that's not enough, I want you to learn to say this. Ho, we got to practice this. When you're walking through the mall, look at all the new Christmas stuff that's coming out. Walking into the Apple store and seeing all those gadgets and computers and iPods and all that stuff. I want you to learn to say this. That won't make me more content. Let's just practice it. Say it out loud. That won't make me more content. Okay, let's say it one more time just so you get the hang of it. That won't make me more content. Because the lie is, if you get it, you're going to be happier. But you know what? The truth is, that won't make you more content. Oh, yeah, it may give you a little frill for a moment, but guess what? The new smell wears off real quickly. How about it? You say, well, I just love the new smell of a new car. Well, get one of those air fresheners that says new car smell. How about it? Hang it up there. You like the smell. You know, that'll help you out for a little while. And just say, that won't make me more content. And then if that's not enough, let me give you one last saying that this is huge. You'll love it. You'll like it. It'll change you because it captures really the essence of contentment. Learn to say this. Lord, you are more than enough for me. Let's say it. Lord, you are more than enough for me. Start feeling discontent. Start feeling, well, I don't have. Well, he's got. Well, she doesn't. Well, my family isn't. Well, I wish my husband would. Well, I wish my wife were. I wish my kids. Lord, you are more than enough for me. I mean, like, more than enough. Not okay, I can survive off you, God. No, you are more than enough for me. In fact, everything that you have, God, makes me overflow. You are more than enough for all that I have. You are more than enough for me. Every time you start feeling discontent, why don't you say that, Lord, you're more than enough for me. Come on, fill me, Lord, because you're more than enough. If I'm not filled, this means I haven't been drinking of your goodness and your love and your power, because you are more, way more than enough that my little body and mind and soul and spirit can handle. I mean, you fill me beyond whatever I could imagine or fathom, because God, you are more than enough for me. Listen, if you're there at night and you're single and you're feeling like, man, I really just need a husband or I need a wife and I'm, you know, empty and I'm lonely and I'm just real discontent, you need to raise your hands to God and say, God, man, I'm buying into the lie again. But today once more, on this Friday night, I'm watching the couples walk back and forth, hand in hand, and wishing I had someone there. Lord, you are more than enough for me right now. And I'm satisfied in you, God. And you are more than enough for me right now.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the second half of his message called The Secret of Contentment. Join us again on the next Straight Talk as we continue our series called Joy is a Choice. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.